G'day Jets fans, we are back for our fifth preview for this upcoming A-League season, and today I'm talking Western Sydney Wanderers with Nick from the Around the Block podcast. Nick, welcome to the Jet Stream.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Mate, it's great to have you back on. I think you've been on this podcast before.
I have, yes, with Fernsey. I know Fernsey through our Premier League affiliate club, and I see him on the regular, but I also had... one of the other members you had there had a bit of a chat before the grand final in the off season, just to get a bit of perspective on Newcastle, because yeah, guys had a fantastic season last season, of course, missing out slightly on a harsh grand final, if you will. But you know, they say that's football. But when everything was in place to avoid what actually happened on the night, you sort of feel lacking that there is, you've lost a bit of faith in the sport itself. But it's football, it's the emotion, it's the rawness of what we love, I guess.
Yeah, look, it was one of those games. I think probably the better team on the end won that night, but you know, it's still, we've had 6 months at least to get over it, it seems like, anyway, with the A-League now back after the rugby league season. And Fernsey, we don't call him Fernsey, but I think we might start after doing that. it's been an interesting off season for the Wanderers, one of almost complete and utter reset, I'd say. I mean, it was a very difficult season for the Wanderers last year, with a lot of change, particularly off the field. Nicer to have a more stable off season, I guess, in terms of the coaching ranks this year.
Well. I think from maybe our second season in the 13-14 season, that every off season seems to be hit the reset button, because we've always got half a squad out and a new half a squad in. And that's sort of what leaves us frustrated, because half the time they're players that we'd like to keep on that have moved overseas or gone to another A-League club, you know, negotiations fail and things like that. But this past off season and even last season's one, with Popovich leaving a week before the first game of the season, that sort of already put us in a tight spot, you know, already on the back burner, because we had Hayden Fox come in. He had 4 or 5 games to you know, just steady the club until the manager was brought in, and that's when Gombau came in. And you know, ill-fated as it was, you know, we did have something in place. We tried to sort ourselves out, but yeah, every off season it just doesn't really go on. We assemble a very good squad. We make a, you know, push for the top two. We make a grand final. Ultimately, we lose it, because that's what we do. We make grand finals and we lose them. And sort of the players that we need to keep go to other clubs and move on. And that's sort of the frustrating thing. But there are more, you know, more reasons why they don't work out. Like Chris Economides, for one, which I was actually a little bit, you know, out of all the players, I was a little bit heartbroken over that, because he was there for 3 months and he was probably our top two, top three players. And in 3 months, he showed pretty much what he can do on the wings. And now he's got a 3-year deal at the Glory with the old Western Sydney boy Popovich and Santelab as well. So, you know, off-seasons, as harsh as they are, sometimes... you know, you don't really get your way, and then you try and, you know, rebuild yourself and try and better what you previously had.
So what went wrong with Gombau last season? He had a very successful stint during his time with Adelaide, but since then, he moved into the Socceroos setup, I suppose, and the Football Federation setup. What was it that didn't see him make his time with the Wanderers a success?
Well, the first few months, we thought, give him a bit of time, let him get a feel for the players, let him see what he's working with, and try and find his feet at the club as well, because, you know, he had great success with Adelaide. He didn't have the best of starts, but I think he was there for a couple of seasons, and then after that that first season, they started a bit of a golden roll, and they got on a winning streak, and that sort of set them up for the following season. But you know, ultimately for us, it just didn't happen that way. A lot of players were disjointed, you know, disillusioned. There was talk that there was, you know, anger towards the manager and things like that. Rumors started flying around from inside the camp and from what we heard as well. And ultimately, I think it's just the way he wanted to play football wasn't suited for the Wanderers. But at that time on his appointment, it was touted that he was going to be the guy who was going to give us attacking football. And maybe he tried to give us attacking football, but then at the same time, we were left exposed in the midfield and in defence a lot of the times, and we conceded quite a fair few goals, notably in the derby. But Sydney FC, you know, have to give total credit. They were, you know, a formidable force and unstoppable freight train in the last couple of seasons. And now, you know, how they're going to fare is up to question with the new manager and playing out of different stadiums as well, as we're proof that it's not all roses. Just because you've got a fantastic backing the year before doesn't mean you can move forward the following season. But for Gombau, it's just probably the way he sort of approached the players and his playing style didn't sit well with the rest of the players and management, perhaps. And I guess at the end of the day, the tough call was made. And even though he was only appointed for, you know, three quarters of the season on a 3-year deal, you know, I think Tatsumas had to bite the bullet and, you know, move him on. And now we've got a former, you know, European footballer, Champions League playing. I think he's won it with Bayern Munich as well, former Liverpool player, Marcus Babbel. And, you know, it hasn't been the greatest of results. I mean, you know, a 3-0 loss in a derby isn't always, you know, sort of come to expect it. But since then, it's been a very much improved performance from our squad, and hopefully he can bring in some of his you know, talents that he's picked up along the years as a player and a manager from Europe to Western Sydney. And you know, it looks like he hasn't been too bad so far.
Has he been well received? Has Babbel's appointment been well received by the fans?
I would say positively yes, because he is not one to sort of shy away. Away from the position that he's at, where Gombau wasn't one to shy away either. Neither was Popovich, but Popovich sort of had that cool, calm, sort of, if you will, lack of a better term, shady sort of view to him, whereas Gombau was, you know, always sort of like open and smiling and things like that, even though, you know, as I said, there were issues, you know, behind the scenes. And with Babbel, seems to be very much more open, willing to, you know, to learn new things and to try a different approach, and very, you know, acknowledgeable of the fans and the commitment that they have. And as I said, he's played for, you know, big clubs in Europe, and he knows what it's like to play inside of packed stadiums. So, you know, he would have seen the power that a United fan base can have for a team. And I think that's what he's trying to do as well, because we haven't had the best of times in recent years with our own fans, active fans as well, and just in general. So hopefully that all is fixed come the start of the season, which is only a couple of weeks away, and then, you know, off to a brand new home in Wonderland 2.0 from next season onwards.
That's got to be exciting. I mean, that you're going to Wonderland. I mean, how difficult has it been for the fans to be travelling around and almost be nomadic in their existence and not have a place to call home?
Yeah, well, we're living up to the name Wanderers. We go from place to place, so we don't really have a set home. But the time at Spotless and ANZ, you know, SOP, we call it, you know, Sydney Olympic Park, we... you know, I've gone to every single game that I possibly can, where I can, and whilst it is a pain to get to at times, you know, public transport is there, but there's nothing really else around the place. There's not much to do, and you feel like you're in a deserted, you know, country town somewhere with, like, the old stadium. That's just, there's nothing else to do, and everyone just goes there for the game and then leaves, whereas at Parramatta, you could be there from midday to midnight, and you could have something different to do every hour of the day and night, and on top of the game as well. And when you leave, you can go back and, you know, get a gelato, get a pizza, you know, have a drink, whatever. Whereas Sydney Olympic Park, it's you know, it's not the not the most fun place to go to, but essentially, you know, for what we're doing, Stephen on our show says, you know, it's a few years pain for long term gain, and you know, I'm all for it. I mean, like I said, I don't like going to Sydney Olympic Park. ANZ is a soul destroying stadium. I don't like it at all when we play some games there, but spotless to its credit where we're positioned anyway. The RBB behind the goal, we've got a nice little tight little area where everyone's together. It makes us feel just like it was at Parramatta when everyone's close together, and hopefully that sort of carries through to the following season. But until then, we still have another season to go at SOP, and fingers crossed it can be our most successful one yet.
Let's look at the outs that have gone through the Wanderers during this off-season. I mean, Jack Clisby has departed, Alvaro Cejudo, who is a player that showed flashes of brilliance but never really quite reached the heights that many expected of him, if you think that's fair. Michael Thwaite, a very disappointing one. As you mentioned, Chris Economides, his loan wasn't able to be renewed, and Perth picked him up in the end. Jonathan Aspro, and Steve Lustica was released as well. But I'd say that the one that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but probably hurt the most was Brendan Sandilab departing for Perth.
Yeah, the guys and Tats in the previous show mentioned in the squad report that Sandilab was the most obvious one that sort of hit home the hardest. And I guess one of the things that a lot of the fans are frustrated and angry over is probably not the fact that he left. I mean, the guy's 37. He was struggling to sort of back it up every week, but when he came on, he gave it his all. And, that's sort of like what, we expect as a Wanderer, to go out there and give it your all and, show people that, you're not going to back down from a fight. And as I said, the tough thing to take was that he signed in the off season, and we didn't get to give him a farewell. The plan was always to have him stay on at the club in a coaching role or some sort of ambassador role and take over from there. But alas, he'll be facing against us in round one. And I take it that when he comes to Sydney Olympic Park and Parramatta, if he stays on for another season there, that he will get a massive reception, just like Kovic did when he went to Perth after the successful stint with us. And hopefully we win on the day, of course, but nonetheless, they'll still get an ovation. But Sandilab, undoubtedly a Western Sydney Wanderers hero, one of the cult heroes, one of the greats, in my opinion, for what he's given to the club and the determination he showed. And these things happen. I think it's something that fans in general need to understand, that when these deals are done, they're done in the off-season. We can't, managers and players and agents can't plan that far ahead, that they're going to agree to a move in February, March, when the season's still on, and then they're going to disappear after because contracts are still going. They may change their mind. And, it's one of those things you have to take.
Looking at the ins, I guess there's been a couple of players promoted from the youth team in Nicholas Suman and Tass Mordekutis, pardon me. Daniel Nizic as well has come from Morecambe. But you've also managed to secure, I think, one of the more promising players in Jordan O'Doherty from Adelaide United, and the return of an inaugural player for the Wanderers and a fan favourite during his time up here at Newcastle as well, Tarek Elrich.
Yeah, I was happy that T got a return back, and I was hearing rumours that I think when Elrich had his injury, I think he had an ACL injury last season, and he was out for the majority of it for Adelaide, and there was talk that, there was rumours that he'd be coming back to Western Sydney. And the thing was that, take it with a grain of salt from what I've heard, that he wouldn't return to Western Sydney as long as Popovich was there, for whatever reason, and Gombau was, and then it was sort of under Gombau that he got re-signed to the club, and then Gombau left, and he stayed on, and he stays on. But, he's not a spring chicken anymore. He's getting on in age as well. He's come back from a big, long injury, but nonetheless, I mean, his efforts in our first inaugural season can't be forgotten, and he was there towards the end of the season. And it's good to see him back. And as you mentioned, O'Doherty, a few youngsters coming into the squad as well. Former Adelaide players in Bruce Kamau, making the team as well, signed. There's debate whether he came under Gombau or if he was signed just after. We're not too sure just yet. But things like that, Fitzgerald and Tongi coming from City, Tass and Tate Russell, were moved from the 20s to the first team. And of course, we've got our, you know, the German influences coming into the squad with Patrick Ziegler and Balm Johan coming in as well. Both players having, you know, decent careers in Germany. Balm Johan having played for Bayern Munich, similar to what Babel has, and having played at other clubs. And, you know, Ziegler now could be under a bit of an injury cloud, and we'll see what happens there. But, you know, Balm Johan playing that number 10 role sort of frees up Rolly to do his roaming thing. And he's playing well on that left side. He scored more goals in that left midfield, left wing position than he has all of last season. So, you know, signs are good there. Maybe, you know, Babel's found a bit of a formula to work with. And Nizic coming in as a backup to Tyson, who moved on as well. And some of the defence, you know, we had Cornthwaite move to, you know, I think it was Thailand, you know, abruptly halfway through the season. And again, you know, the rumour, you know, hamster starts spinning that there was a difference in opinion with Gombau, and Thwaite moved on to Gold Coast United, you know, for a second stint there. So we needed some new defenders, and we got them in here. So a lot of the players stayed on. Veteran sort of injured at the moment too. They reckon it will be back due for the game against Perth, match day one. But, you know, apart from that, you know, Babel, he's brought in some players. He's got a lot that has been remaining, and I think that's sort of been the poison chalice for many of the for Gombau and now for Babel, after having players that you haven't really signed. So it's what you have to work with, and that's another thing. Now, do we you know, do we expect that they'll challenge this season, or maybe just to get like a top four finish and just to sort of creep in and say, you know, wait for these guys next year, new stadium, you know, better players, you know, let's say, and then, you know, who knows what could happen.
I mean, let's go, before I come back to Ziegler and Balm Johan, Nick Fitzgerald is a player that I considered could have been a good pickup for the Jets with our issues out wide, our lack of depth out wide. The Wanderers managed to pick him up. Are you expecting a lot from Nick this season?
Well, he's one of those players at City that I actually enjoyed watching. Every time he came on, even against us, I thought, here we go, because he's one of those players that never tires. Sort of like a Santelab, but in the midfield wing position, because he could play on the wing, he can also play in the midfield, you know, drive at the defence, make something happen. He was predominantly used on the left wing, I believe, when at City. Sometimes you see him on the right side, but if Bonaventure is going to be taking the left, then I'd say Fitzgerald maybe looking to occupy that right space, and Balm Johan in the middle, and, you know, he may be able to do like a switch, or, you know, fill in the gaps where need be. But yeah, I mean, actually don't mind Nick Fitzgerald. He's got a great name, you know, let's be honest there. And, you know, he could be a vital player for us. And I know a lot of fans don't like the players, you know, we call it, you know, the recycling of players. And I'm not a fan of it as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's the sort of system we've got. That's the league, how we operate. And I suppose when you need to fill your squad, you're going to fill it with as much, you know, possible good talent that you've got. And Nick is experienced. He's not that old either. And he's still got lots of gas in the tank. And hopefully he does a good job for us.
So you mentioned Ziegler is under a potential injury cloud. Can you talk us through what that is?
I'm not too sure just yet. They were saying that he could be out for a couple of months, in which case he'd be missing, you know, the first month or two of the season. And, you know, he's sort of developed a partnership alongside Hamill, who has taken the captaincy full-time, I believe. Mark Bridge is still there as well, but he's getting on age and probably won't be playing as much as maybe he would like or we would imagine. So Hamill taking that captaincy alongside Ziegler, they'd be the marshals in the defence and also in the team, and playing with Llorente at left back, who stayed on, signed for another season, which I'm happy about. And then also on the right side, you've got a mix of Elrich and Socceroo, Josh Risden. So, you know, it's a decent back line. I don't know how you'd rank it against some of the others in the A-League, but, you know, I'll say we've had worse in the past, if I'm honest. But Ziegler being out for a couple of months, that sort of does leave us a little bit, you know, under. But we do have some players who can step in, like Tongik can jump into it as well. And we'll see what happens there. And hopefully Ziegler's not out for too long. And for those that don't know, his father was actually born in Australia. So the Wanderers are pushing to have him as a as a local player, which would free up a visa spot. So that could be another potential signing, before the season starts.
Wow. Crystal ball time, what are you expecting from the Wanderers this season?
I think we've all discussed this amongst ourselves, and whilst I don't think we'll be able to compete with the likes of Sydney FC, Melbourne Victory, they recruitment, 101, like fantastic stuff. I don't know how they've done it. But in terms of what we have got in Marcus Babbel and John Paul Di Marini, who I believe was vital for Melbourne Victory alongside Kevin Muscat for their successful, campaigns, winning grand finals and premiers plate. So that's a bit of a coup for us, I believe. And the players we've got, whilst it's probably not the flashiest team we have had, I do believe we've had a better squad overall a couple of seasons ago. But I think if we're pushing, that top four position, I think if we can make it around there and maybe make a, semi-final or something like that, I think that'll bode well for the season after. But that's provided we keep the players who have performed well, and even if they've done the job, I hate seeing players go just for the sake of freeing up spaces if they've done well. So I hope that we can retain, all the good that we have and kick it on for next season. But, we've got 27 rounds yet to be played, and who knows what can happen.
So, prediction time. One-word answers are okay. Who are going to be the premiers this year?
Based on recruitment and the players that they brought in, I reckon Melbourne can take it again, but they'll be chased very, very closely by Sydney FC.
Who will be the grand final winner?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go Melbourne Victory.
Who will take the wooden spoon?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm going to say it because I think everyone else will. Knicks.
Who will be the top scorer in the league?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Ooh, that is a very tough one. I'm going to go Riera. He might score the most goals, and I think Wanderers will still find themselves drawing a lot of games.
And where do you think the Jets will finish this season?
Ooh, Jets, very good season last season. A couple of players moved on towards the end there, but you guys still held on strong, and if all goes well for yourselves, I reckon you guys can push it in again. Maybe second or third, that'd be a toss of a coin. I'm not too sure.
Okay. Nick, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us here on the Jetstream. If people want to get in touch or listen to the Around the Block podcast, you can find them on Twitter at ATBWSW. So that's obviously Around the Block, Western Sydney Wanderers. So
Yep.
You're also on Facebook, I assume?
Yeah, we're on Facebook as well. Just search for Around the Block, and Block spelled BLOC, just in case. And that website as well, aroundtheblock.com.au. You can find the podcast and multiple articles there as well.
Sure, you can also download the podcast through any of the podcasts app. So, Nick, thanks again for taking the time to talk to us. I'm sure we'll talk to you again during the season. And all the best for the upcoming year.
Not a problem. Thank you very much. Likewise to yourselves. And, fingers crossed, if it's not us, hopefully you guys can go one better this season.
So, yeah, we're hoping the same as well. Cheers.
Thanks, mate.